across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, I think we are living through, and we can only assess it when we get to the end of the year, one of the most fascinating years that any of us will have existed through. Doesn't matter how many years you've been on this planet, or any other, I think a lot of stuff is happening. In particular, to do with the UAP issue, the idea that back engineering programs may have been going on for years, and the idea that whistleblowers are in the wings and ready to come out, or have come out, to explain exactly what is happening, and now also a legal framework that would facilitate disclosure of a lot of things, if you believe in the word disclosure. So, this edition of The Unexplained, in this week that Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, made a number of interesting comments about whistleblowing and things like that, that have been making the news and continue to make the news as I'm speaking these words. Three items from my show, two from the last show that I did, and one from the show before, where we talk about David Grusch with Steve Bassett, because I haven't put that on the podcast yet. And I think Steve's views are still very relevant, even though this is a fast-moving story. So three items that are linked to that particular issue, and all of them, I think, worth hearing. Thank you to Adam, my webmaster, as ever, for his hard work. And if you want to communicate with me, please go to the website, theunexplained.tv. Follow the link and send me an email from there. And I would always be pleased to hear from you. Don't forget, of course, if you send me videos of things that you've seen, maybe in the sky, remember that I'm not a professional video analyst, and I can only give you an opinion of, you know, what I think it is, or whether I think it's amazing. Maybe if you really want professional analysis digitally of those frames, you might also want to send them to the likes of Jason Gleaves at Ufonly, or MUFON, or another organization of that nature. If you need a professional breakdown of the image, I don't have the software and all of that stuff, but I do very much enjoy seeing the things that you send. All right, what else is there to say? My Facebook page, don't forget that. The official Facebook page of The Unexplained with Howard Hughes, and no other Facebook page. Mine is the one with the official logo on it. Okay, lots to get in. Item number one, Jeremy Corbell we'll talk with, good friend of this show, investigative journalist and filmmaker, and with George Knapp, of course, the man behind the groundbreaking Weaponized podcast. We'll talk with him about the hot-button topics of the moment, including a change potentially in the American law that could have some very, very interesting consequences. Then after that, we'll talk with Doug Popper, investigator, former criminal investigator, and host of the Doug Popper podcast, who went to Las Vegas and met that family who claimed that they came into contact with an alien. More about that when we get into the conversation. I know a lot of you are skeptical, but this story has many aspects to it that you might find interesting. I don't know. I'm not persuaded one way or the other. But you wait till you hear Doug Popper, okay? Then, from 2 weeks ago, Steve Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group talking about the revelations of David Grusch. Like I say, a lot to get into, so here comes item number one. This is Jeremy Corbell. It's now 2 weeks, give or take a day or two, since the earth-shaking revelations of David Grusch. Remember him? The man who weighed worldwide headlines, not nearly enough of them, by essentially saying that he was working for the US military. And he is a 14-year Afghanistan veteran. We talked about his bona fides here. A lot of people stood up for him, backed him up, verified he was what he said he was, and he is what he says he is. Basically telling us, in no uncertain terms, that the US has been back engineering, crashed craft, maybe aliens have been involved in the mix too. It's been going on for decades. It's been done in secret, and we haven't been told about it. Here comes a quote from my friend Jeremy Corbell, investigative journalist and filmmaker and all-round good egg man, who's partly behind the Weaponized podcast, which I recommend you check out. This is what he said this week. The world is creaking under the stress and weight of the UFO reality, and it's about damn time. Well, it's about damn time. We talked with Jeremy Corbell about this. Jeremy, thank you so much for making time for me. How are you?
I'm great, Howard. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. You know, the heat's getting to us. Can you tell? The heat's getting to us a bit here in London. We've got like 90 degrees here. You know, it's like the savannah. But we're fine. Nice. But it might make me go a little crazy. I've got to warn you. So look, Jeremy, let's just, before we get into the principal revelation that you have for me tonight, and thank you for doing this, where are we at this point in time in what Steve Bassett called on this show a few weeks ago, you know, summer of disclosure, summer of revelation? Is that where we're at?
Look, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not going to make predictions, but what I can tell you is what's happened. So George Knapp and I obtained and released a new document from Canada. And this document was from an individual within the system of government there that brought it forward to their defense minister and identified a program that is multinational. So this is a UFO exploitation program housed under a foreign materials program, a Five Eyes, as they say, which is like five countries that work together. This is the closest thing I've ever seen to an admission. They're basically saying, look, we have this reverse engineering program. And I'll just tell you, Canada found one of theirs. That's why this letter was written. This letter wasn't written out of a void. And this is Larry Maguire. And he's basically saying, we need to get ahead of this, that there's a number of countries that seem to be getting ahead of this, and we need to not lose the trust of the Canadian public. So for me, that was huge. That was a huge revelation. We were able to obtain and release it. You know, it's been around a little bit, but nobody saw it. So that was really neat. And then additionally, this is the kind of bombshell, really, was just yesterday, new legislation was approved, bipartisan, and it was approved unanimously. And what this legislation says, I want to break it down for people. This is the Senate Intelligence Committee. They're saying, look, it's carrot and stick situation for these illegal UFO reverse engineering of non-terrestrial or off-world craft. And they're saying, look, you need to, one, tell us, or it is illegal. So all UAP research and development is now illegal, right? So this is the stick. The carrot is it makes you be able, like a historical acknowledgement of UAP exploitation. Currently, it makes it okay if you acknowledge it. They really have 60 days once this is set in law to notify the US government that they have in their possession these materials or craft. And then they have 180 days to literally show them the goods. Now, this isn't law yet. So that's the thing. Like, how are you going to, you know, make this happen? Is the FBI going to go raid Lockheed Martin?
Exactly.
We don't know yet.
Well, we don't. I mean, look, I'm reading some of the stuff that you put out, and it is bombshell stuff, and I recommend people check it out. But, you know, we're doing it here for them anyway. And let's just put it very clearly, Jeremy. It puts, I'm quoting here, official restrictions on any funding associated with UAP technologies and mandates compulsory reporting by U.S. industry of any UAP-related holdings to ensure there is congressional oversight. Now, there are many ways to make that happen. You can have all kinds of legal sanctions. You can threaten to send the boys in. But the way that tends to work in my country, and definitely in yours, the money. That's the thing, isn't it?
That is the thing. And so, look, on one side, this is an apparent attempt to provide amnesty to companies that, comply with this legislation. But if you don't, comply, you get no money. And so that's going to stop these programs, which would be a real tragedy. But the bigger tragedy would be if this illusion, this secret, these lies continue to be told to the American and global public. But I mean, I just want to put it really clearly to everybody right now. It is acknowledged that there is a Five Eyes UFO exploitation program.
We just got to make it clear for our viewer here. That is us. That's the Canadians. That's the Australians. That's you in America. That's us in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is just for people that don't know the Five Eyes, right? This is Australia, New Zealand, US, UK, and what's the last one I'm forgetting? Canada.
Let's not forget Canada.
No, but they made the emission. I mean, that's what's so cool. So essentially, this acknowledgement of the Five Eyes Foreign Material Program as housing one of these UFO programs. Again, Canada found the UFO program. They found one of them. So this is really bombshell news. And for people not tracking it, the world is changing. You have legislation being put into place to expose these UFO programs. This is a reality, and consensus reality needs to catch up to it. It's kind of like that movie, Don't Look Up, where people have been saying for a long time, this is what's going on. So now finally, people are starting to see the writing on the wall. And I believe we're closer than ever to really getting to the core of the issue, which is that if there are craft of unknown origin not made here on Earth, then where are they made?
Exactly. And we would like to be knowing. And, you know, David Grush has taken us some of that way.
He has.
Are you hearing whether this legislation is getting any political traction here? In other words, it's one thing to say we are legislating, this is what we are going to mandate. And it's another thing for people to get behind it and actually make it happen.
Yeah, well, look, this is a bipartisan issue in the United States and really abroad, and it was unanimously passed. So, of course, there's got to be some adaptation of that language to be brought into law and signed by the president. However, this is just huge leaps and bounds. Like, we can't, this is the biggest news story about UFOs that I've seen in a long time. So is there some sort of pressures that will try to diminish this language? Of course there is. This is the industries that are under pressure here. They'll lobby and try to like create an environment where this won't be passed. However, I will tell you, there are people, good people in Senate, Congress, and within the intelligence community that want this information out, the fundamentals of this information. So to give you an example, look, we don't have to teach people how to make an atom bomb, but we can admit that's been a program of ours for a long time. This UFO reverse engineering program or effort, because there are many programs that are hidden within the classified realm underneath legitimate programs. But this has been going on for more than 50 years. That's what was in that document. Was there talking about this has been going on? You can even find whispers of it publicly for more than 50 years. It's about damn time.
It is. And I hope it's going to happen. Problem with all of this stuff, isn't it? And we both know this, Jeremy, is that a lot of these programs have happened under so-called black ops budget. In other words, you don't have to say what you're using the money for. You know, it is all hidden. Can you be sure that even with this legislation, it will be unhidden?
Yeah, I mean, look, nothing is for sure. But with the revelations that came forward through David Grush, who, by the way, he came to me and George Knapp first. He came to us first, and he was like, I am concerned about reprisal. So this was kind of the issue that was going on. That is true. You've seen those attempts on him, not just character assassination attempts. So there are people that want to come forward. There are witnesses with firsthand direct experience on the exploitation programs of non-terrestrial technology that are currently working within our intelligence communities and also kind of sub projects. I have spoken with them. I have spoken with them for years. I've sent some of them to Arrow. This is like, to me, this is so clear what's going on. And to encourage those people to come forward in the right way, as David Grush did, right? Because Arrow did not exist at that time. These ways to come forward did not exist at that time. So now all these other people have and will continue to come forward if we treat whistleblower protections through the Presidential Protections Act 19 or whatever it is, if we treat people right, and if it is a successful information that is put forward, then other people will come forward. I already know that they have.
And this new law, does this mean that if I'm working, I don't know, in one of the great American states, and I've set up the Howard Hughes Corporation, that's this Howard Hughes, not the billionaire Howard Hughes, who's already got a corporation, even though he's no longer with us, it's still there and it's still successful. But, you know, say the Howard Hughes Corporation, okay, I admit it, I've been getting money, I've been back engineering stuff for the last 5 years, and this is what I've done. Am I then required to admit it? Otherwise, the money is going to stop coming. Is this what this means?
Yeah, that's kind of the thrust and the aim. And the reason this language was created this way is because we know for a fact that a lot of these exploitation programs, such as the reverse engineering programs, from whole craft to machinery to just pieces of metal, that all of this was sequestered over to what you'd call private industry, mm-hmm. right? So if you're working on a program like that, it is illegal for them to not bring that forward. In fact, it is your duty to come forward and to express what's going on. And there's no criminal repercussions at all if you come forward. Now, will this be signed into law? That is the question. But you have to understand this language wasn't created in a void. It's created from a knowledge. They know. They know where the goodies are at. Mm. They know where the holding facilities are.
Otherwise, why do you, if you don't know what you're talking about, why phrase it like that?
Exactly. And so I think that should be a real wake-up call to the American public and also to your public in the UK. I think that people should look at this and understand this is actually being put forward because of knowledge, because of direct knowledge of what's going on.
And this guy in Canada, just very quickly, when I saw his name and I read what he was saying this week, it reminded me very much of the late Paul Hellyer, who, of course, was vilified in the media. I put him on air. I think I was the first to put him on air in the UK talking about what he said that he had discovered and what he believed. And he was former Defence Minister of Canada. Do we think that Larry Maguire is going to get an easier time than Paul Hellyer got?
Well, it's a different world we live in. I knew Paul Hellyer, former Defense Minister of Canada, pretty well. We spent a lot of time together in Washington, D.C., and he had knowledge based on stuff that he's heard and that kind of thing. The difference with Larry Maguire is that he literally found, he was part of a group, and they found these UFO, this a UFO program, a special materials program relating to UFO. I know that as a fact. So he has contact with firsthand direct eyewitnesses who worked in these programs. So that's the difference. The difference is really that this is a different era now where all this information is bubbling to the surface.
Last question, and I think you're doing fantastic work, and give George my best. You know, I'm a big fan of George and you. How are you getting all this stuff?
Right. Well, look, the trick to being trusted is to be trustworthy. And people have come forward to me, but also I have worked really hard. I have worked really hard to reach out, to speak with people, to try to get to the bottom of this, to learn the UFO exploitation names, which I've learned. And that's not just like in a day, that's over years. So really for me, why are people, or you said how, I'm going to answer why. Why people are coming forward to me is because in order to tell secrets, sometimes you have to keep them. I intend to not harm any kind of national security, but to help this information and this movement come forward in the right and legitimate way. And people can trust that. And that's why they reach out to me.
Just in a word, do you think we're going to get disclosure this summer?
I don't know what that word means, Howard. Like, to me, disclosure has already happened. We're already having it. This is now we're having the conversation. So I don't really know what that means. We're learning new stuff every day.
We are. And listen, thank you. I know how busy you are. So thank you very much for giving me your time, Jeremy. And I wish you all the very best with, you know, yourself, your life, and this work that you're doing. And especially,
I appreciate you, Howard. Thank you.
Weaponized podcast, you and George Knapp, two legends together. Well worth checking out. Jeremy Corbell, good friend of this show. Thank you, Jeremy, very much for helping me out. Some very interesting stuff there. All right, let's get now to Doug Popper. A very controversial story about the Las Vegas family, and seemingly one of their neighbors, it looks like, who witnessed some kind of UFO event and perhaps some kind of 8-foot-tall alien in close proximity to them. It is still making headlines. Doug Popper, former criminal investigator and host of the Doug Popper podcast, went to meet those people. Here is my conversation with Doug. This, I think, is the latest phase in this story. KABC Los Angeles this week reported this. Las Vegas police placed cameras in the backyard of a family's home where they claim aliens crashed last month. Remember this? We talked about it for the last couple of weeks. Las Vegas family called the police after aliens supposedly crashed in their backyard. Family members were recorded saying they saw an 8-foot person with big eyes that is not human. Police body camera footage also showed something falling from the sky. Now, we have to say that astronomers said that was a meteor because of the way that it was traveling. No doubt about that, they said. According to sources close to the investigation, law enforcement are not treating the incident, this is according to this report this week, as a hoax, and have placed cameras in case the aliens make another landing. I'm quoting from this. I think those cameras may now have been removed. But this was a story that got a ton of traction. And a man who actually went there and met the family who experienced all of this in Las Vegas is Doug Popper, former criminal investigator and host of the Doug Popper podcast. He has literally made the running on this story. So I'm thrilled to have him online to us now. Doug, thank you for doing this.
Good evening, Howard. Nice to be on your show.
I have had some people castigating me for covering this story because they tell me this is an obvious hoax. And I've been trying to tell them it's not as clear cut as that. Where are you at on this story at the moment?
I got the same response when I started investigating this. This is really the first UFO incident I've investigated. Mostly do murders and police corruption and stuff like that. But here's where we're at. I actually broke the story on May 18th on my Twitter. And my first podcast, episode 142, was on the 22nd of May. And long story short, I know we're limited on time. But I had two interviews with the family, first on the 19th and then an extended one on the 27th of May. And the first time it was a little hard to get anything out of the family. They didn't trust me. So, but they end up talking a little. I talked to the son, Angel. Angel is the son who first made the first 9/11 call to the police dispatcher. And then the father got on the phone. His name is Bobby.
Right. So it's important to make isn't it, to make the point that a couple of generations of the family, it wasn't just the kids who reported this.
That's exactly correct. The son, Angel, saw it. His brother saw the creatures. The father saw the creatures. Now, the father didn't see the alleged craft when it came down. He was in the house. But I was out there. He actually described them to me the same way the son did. I was standing next to a pole that was holding up the large carport. I'm almost 6'1". And he said to me, the father, he says, that pole you stand next to, it was actually bigger than that. I looked up at the pole, it was about 8.5 feet. And Angel said, yeah, it was even bigger than the pole. Described the same thing that the two sons were describing to me. Now, you talked about the cameras. On the 19th, when I was up there, it was about 12:30. It was actually later in the evening. I was up there in the morning. I couldn't get a response from the family. I went back later that night. And the mother came out when I was talking to the son, and she said, I saw the surveillance cameras. She said the police had come out earlier that afternoon and installed a police video and audio surveillance system on the pole in the back of the house.
This was the city police department, not Men in Black.
These are confirmed by my sources. It was the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. It was put in by the Holman Security Division, and they were put in a pole, a light pole in the family's backyard.
Homeland Security. Okay.
Yes. The LVMT, the police department, has a Homeland Security Division. Mm-hmm. And it was the technical squad called TAS, the Technical and Surveillance Squad, that installed the cameras on the property. So I talked to them for a little bit. The mother told me a lot of stuff. I don't know if you watched the podcast. Everybody's watching my podcast, and the stuff was in there. Mm-hmm. Now, I went back on the 27th, and they actually, this time, the first time, they wouldn't let me into the house. They wouldn't show me the yard. They didn't trust me. And the little interview that I got with them, they were concerned about having their last names and their faces on my podcast or broadcasted. So I said, listen, I'll make sure everything I put out does not show the home. I will not use your last name and will not show your faces. And that's what I did. So when I went back there on the 27th, actually, I didn't think I was going to get an interview. I was talking, go knocking on doors, looking for neighbors if they had anything. And a neighbor to the right of that home, the woman in the house and the husband says, my wife heard a thud about the same time on May 1st when this thing supposedly was supposed to come down.
So that's corroboration.
It's corroboration. And she even said that she was interviewed later on, whether it was that same night or early in the morning, by Las Vegas Metro police officers. So she heard a thud, like something was coming down. Angel, when I spoke to him, he said, of course, they were working on the cars. The ground shook. They heard a noise. And when he looked in the back with his brother, they saw whatever came down was blurry. He said we couldn't see it. And then the blurriness disappeared. When the blurriness disappeared, they saw these creatures walking away from whatever this thing was that came down.
How many?
You got to remember, like you said, that night, everybody saw this meteor across three states. So that was when I first started doing the investigation.
How many creatures were there?
Excuse me?
How many creatures?
He said two, and his brother said two.
Both 8 foot tall.
8 to 10 feet tall. That's what they said. And you know, he described what they look like, neon eyes. He said one of them later on. He said it had human eyes. Now, what's going on with Angel up at this point? I got new information last night. I'm still looking at. He has since given some interviews on some UFO podcast, and he's saying stuff on those podcasts that he did not tell me. For instance, when I was back on the house on the 27th, they brought me to the backyard, and he said, "We don't have any kids, and we don't have colored chalk." And he showed me some etchings, chalk marks in the ground with appeared to be an angel, a tree, and some boulders. And he said it was not there the night before the incident happened. When we opened up the door in the morning, we saw these etchings in the ground, and I saw them. And I said, "What relevance does that have to the incident?" And he didn't come out and say that he thought these creatures may have done it, but it was like an insinuation. And he said they weren't there, and it was there in the morning. And then he said, "Look at the angel, you know, written into the ground, and the tree and the boulders." He said, "Look at over there. That's the stuff in the yard over there. It's like somebody copied it." So I put that in the back of my head. I didn't think it was relevant at the time. He has since elaborated on that and on a video on one of these UFO podcasts. And then he also had something to me that I thought was completely strange about a week ago when I was on the phone with him. He said, "I just want to let you know," because after these meetings, I have telephone conversations also with him and the mother. And he said, "I want to let you know, Doug, that about 2 or 3 months before this incident, me and I think his brother and his cousin or somebody, they were at a gas station." He said some black woman came up, knew his name, and told him that, and this was coming off the top of my head because I didn't record it. He said that she said that in a couple of weeks or something, aliens or demons are going to come down to the earth and do something.
So look, one of the things that, and sadly we don't have a ton of time, I'm really pleased that I've got you on here, Doug. Maybe we can talk longer in another format, maybe my podcast. But why come out with further details later, at the point when some people are starting to say the whole thing is a fake? It's almost as if I was somebody who'd made something up, then I'd come up with a few more details. You're convinced that's not what's happening here?
No, I'm not convinced. Like I said, I got more information last night. When he made that remark to him, I said, Angel, excuse me, I said, "That sounds freaking crazy.
Yeah.
People are going to start questioning your credibility." Mm-hmm. Excuse me, the allergies are terrible out here. And he said, "Well, that's what happened, and we saw what we saw in the yard." Okay. And I keep telling people from the beginning of this podcast, I believe they saw something in the yard. You looked at the video that they put out. They obviously were scared of something. What that something was, a shadow, a ghost, an alien, I don't have any idea. But like I said, Angel has been out there, and he's saying a lot of stuff right now that is a little bizarre that he did not tell me when I spoke to him on those two interviews.
But you've looked at them, you've talked with them, you've got a kind of rapport with them. You believe them.
I spoke to, listen, if it was just this, the two kids, I would have said they saw the meteor coming down and then they made the story up. But I spoke to the father. He explained to me exactly what these things look like. I mean, he's an intelligent man. He also got on the phone with the police the night when Angel called up the dispatcher, and he said the same thing. She puts in the log. Father's on the phone, said he saw creatures 15, 20 minutes ago. So, you know, you cannot call 911 and put a hoax. That is a crime, you know, in the state of Nevada and most other states.
And the police are not taking action against them for misusing or wasting their time, effectively, which is an offense in your country and an offense in my country. I think there's more to this than meets the eye. I don't know what it is, Doug. Sadly, we're out of time on this format. And like I say, thank you. There was a report that didn't some military people, it is claimed, comb or scour a nearby lake? I wonder if you can just tell me about that in 20 seconds.
Yes, one of the news broadcasts put out that this guy was out searching. He said supposedly something was shot down and crashed in Lake Mead, and there was military activity out here. I cannot confirm that, but one of the national networks did say that.
Doug Popper, former criminal investigator and host of the Doug Popper podcast, where you will find out more about this. I'm really pleased. Thank you very much for making time for me.
Well, I know that is a controversial topic and a controversial story, but it still seems to be in some respects in the headlines. I see in the last few days somebody has reported another UFO in the skies over Las Vegas. Remember, of course, Las Vegas and its proximity to Area 51 and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, another anniversary in July of Roswell. I don't know. But I think we are living, as they say, in interesting times. Now, after the revelations of David Grusch, whistleblower that we've talked about extensively here, and I talked with Ross Coulthard and Ralph Blumenthal about that story as it was breaking, these are the thoughts, like I say, from 2 weeks ago, of Steve Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group. And I think that as we stop and take breath on this story, Steve's thoughts are very, very valid. Here they come.
This is not unexpected. There was rumors that witnesses were approaching media, were approaching the Senate committees and House committees. There is a great deal going on behind the scenes that well exceeds what we're picking up in the media. Much of this was unleashed by the Senate language in the 2023 appropriations bill that was sponsored by Mark Warner, the chairman of the Senate Intel Committee. He put in there, among other things, this is the big bill of the three. This is the one that's going to be remembered the most, that there would be clear protections to those inside the agencies or military services that wish to speak to Congress under the appropriate security basis, in other words, not illegal, should there be any kind of retaliation from people within their office. In other words, they're not whistleblowers, but rather they're simply providing, within a proper security context, information that the Intel Committee is looking for. And I think the same thing applied to Arrow.
And indeed, Sue Goff, the spokesperson from the Pentagon, put out a statement that the Sun newspaper got and various other media portals to say that we're actively looking for those people. We're looking for their information.
Sure. Now, this was intentional, but Mark Warner went further. In the Senate bill, which was up on the Senate site, legislation site, he included a paragraph that should there be any problems for these witnesses who are appropriately providing information that is being requested under classified status, if necessary, that individual could sue the person within their office, military service, whatever, who it was, and sue the government itself. Now, I think Mark Warner knew there was no chance that that language would make it through the reconciliation process, and it didn't. However, it was up on the Senate legislative site for some time for a lot of people to read. And so in this way, he sent a doubly powerful message. We're ready to hear from you. It's okay to come forward. And this clearly was going to unleash and advance the process that they are seeking, leading to hearings. And I want to make one other distinction. Most of the people you're hearing about are not whistleblowers. They are witnesses. They have a testimony to give. They wish to give it. They are not claiming that the government is doing anything illegal. They're not breaking any laws, security laws. They're simply witnesses. Grusch is different. He had made efforts to get information out. He was getting a hard time. And he personally has stated that he believes the policy of embargo, what I call the truth embargo, is illegal and unethical. And he referred to himself as a whistleblower, well and good, and so he is. But a whistleblower is not a road you take lightly. It can result in threats, controversy, and other issues. And so I encourage people to make that clear distinction between a, quote, whistleblower, of which at this point I only know of one in the public arena, and that's Grusch, and the many, many witnesses who will certainly be testifying before Congress very soon.
Am I right in saying, just to make it clear for viewers on this side of the Atlantic, that the principal reason that we got to know about this is because he filed a complaint about the treatment that he'd received, about the harassment, if you want to call it that, that he says that he had received in the light of having made the disclosures, given the evidence to Congress people that he had. Is that so? Because I am reading, and I don't know whether this is correct, I read one report today that says that his legal representation has been withdrawn now. The company that was representing him legally is not now representing him. Have you heard that?
As of the last article I saw, he was being represented by the former, interestingly enough, director of the Intelligence Inspector General Office, a non-trivial matter. Now, if that individual has withdrawn, I can't speak to that. I would anticipate possibly that it's a recusal for possibly conflict of interest.
All right. Well, there was a story that I just saw in passing on the debrief earlier. But
to answer your other question,
yes.
All right. Wait a minute. I just seem to have lost you here. Let me bring it back. Answer your other question. He was going to turn up eventually. He's clearly a witness, and he could have just remained that until such time as he might have been called before Congress. But what's really important here is that there is a process and has been underway, as I've discussed at great length, where witnesses are being interviewed and prepared to speak to Congress in hearings under oath, which is the process we want to have happen and to be viewed by hundreds of millions of people and be able to speak the truth, which they will. And if necessary, some things will be conveyed in classified setting. This process, which could go on for a couple of weeks, would be the ideal way to set the stage for the president to confirm the non-human intelligence that is engaging us. That is the current phrase. It's extraterrestrial, but I don't want to argue. And do it in a way that's nonpartisan and appropriate. That's what's been underway. What has happened is because he was harassed and has taken some time ago approached a number of entities, including the Intel Committee, as well as the DOD and the IG office and so forth, he lost his patience. And so he decided to get real serious. And in that regard, he recruited or was approached by Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, who we know have done tremendous journalism on this subject. And they put together the piece that launched this current situation in the June 5 edition of the debrief. What has happened in a sense with respect to the process I see going on is he jumped the gun. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm simply saying he jumped the gun. And as a result, it's created some very serious problems for two people in particular. And that is Mark Warner, the chairman of the Senate Intel Committee, which I felt was certainly going to be the initial hearing, though there's some other committees now vying to be the initial hearing. They're now competing to see who can have the hearings first. And the president of the United States, who has been successfully keeping himself out of this so that to keep it nonpartisan and let the evidence and the process come to him. But now with Grush coming forward like that, what do you do? The president could simply not have hearings or just move quickly so that hearings wouldn't take place. And he would come forward in response to Grush's statements and others and say, look, I've done some checking and there is non-human intelligence here, which would get the disclosure out of the way, but it wouldn't be ideal. Or if I were him, I would contact Mark Warner and say, Mark, and again, Mark doesn't have to take, is not, he can't command him to do this, to contact Mark Warner and say, Mark, we need to get those hearings underway immediately. You've got plenty of witnesses to bring forward that include Grush. Get those hearings underway so this process gets out of the realm of massive speculation. And I can tell you, there's all kinds of speculation going on about who Grush is, what he is, where he's going, what he's not. The critics are already moving in to say, well, no, it's all bogus. He's trying to get the limelight, yada, yada, yada. But rather get him in front of a committee under oath. And if he says the same thing under oath, but he's not the only one. So the hearings now, the need for the hearings has been accelerated, which is excellent. Because as I said, it is absolutely in the United States' interest and the world's interest that these hearings happen this summer and resolve the issue of the ET presence before this next massive American political campaign gets underway later this year.
One quick thing to put to you, that Department of Defense statement from Sue Goff said, to date, ARRO, this is the people who collate all this information, has not discovered any, quotes, verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession of reverse engineering of extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. Now, it struck me, because I deal in words and so do you, Steve, that word verifiable is very interesting because it can mean anything you want it to mean.
Sure.
Who's doing the verifying?
I've been on the show a number of times, and you know what I've said repeatedly over and over again. What is going on here? The Senate actions, the legislation, the creation of ARRO, and the creation of an investigative entity over at the, of all places, NASA. NASA providing a nice lengthy report. All of this is not about the United States government realizing, oh, there's something we need to know about. Not at all. They've always known about it. This is a process underway that will, in a minimally disruptive, hopefully positive way, with minimal public relations implications, get the truth embargo over.
Okay,
and so
one thing to
all the statements have to be carefully phrased, because they can't step out of bounds on the way to the touchdown.
Because
and
people
so that
will
statement
them.
Means that Arrow hasn't gotten and or investigated and come to that. Arrow's not doing any investigation at this point. So it is true, but it is not, how would you say, complete. And they're going to have to do a lot of that. They can't come out and say, oh, yeah, Arrow's got plenty of tech. They can't be Grush. Grush has stepped out of bounds. And so in a sense, he's kind of interrupted the road to the touchdown. But that doesn't mean they can't correct here and move forward. This is an extraordinarily complicated process. I call it four-dimensional chess with four different players: the Congress, the president, the DOD, and the American people and journalism. Right. And it's going to be a little chaotic. I just hope it works out well. But again, this is about ending the truth embargo, not about learning what that phenomena is. The government knows what that phenomena is.
All right.
Is.
And that is, as we've said a million times before, a long and winding road, to quote the Beatles. Now, look, in the ordinary workaday mundane world that you and I inhabit, the newspapers and media are full of reports of people who see things. Something unusual, and I'm sure you're aware of this story, hit the American media this week. And I would appreciate just a quick thought about this, Steve. I know it's not your prime bailiwick, and this is not really your thing. However, this was the body cam and 911 audio of officers responding to a call from a family who claimed that a UFO had crashed in their backyard. According to ABC News, a family called 911 on May 1st to report something crashed in their backyard. And I think we can see some of that footage here now. Just a second.
Okay, lady. Me, my dad, and my brother, we're working at a truck in our backyard, and we have a big lot outside, right? Correct?
Okay.
We were working, and we just see in a corner of our eye something fall down from the sky, and it was with light, and when it hit down, it was like a big impact, and we felt it. We felt like an energy, and then we hear like a lot of footsteps near us, and then we have a big equipment, and we see, and there's like an 8-foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us. And
well, I hear what the man says. 100% not human. That footage from the Las Vegas Police Department. As I say, Steve, I know you like to deal with the politics of it, and so do I, but that kind of stuff intrigues one, doesn't it?
There have been things happening for 75 years that are wonderfully intriguing. Untold millions of sightings and encounters and reports and everything else. Let me just say this. I don't know what's going on there, but whatever it is, it will have next to zero impact on the disclosure process. But what it does reflect is that under the current situation, anybody has anything happening that looks a little unusual. Now you get the body cams, you get the film, it goes right up on the media. And that's just a message to the government.
Are we still hearing sound? Oh, we are.
Sorry,
I'm not hearing sound at this moment.
Okay. What?
Well, there must be a reason for that. Oh, yes, there we are. Fine. Sorry about that, Steve. You were saying
okay.
It's my fault at my end here.
Yeah. Whatever's going on there will have zero impact on the disclosure process, I assure you. But what it reflects is that now, under the circumstances, anything unusual that happens that might have a UAP connection, the police are going to show up. There's going to be body cam footage. It's going up on Twitter in five minutes. Because everybody is right on the edge. They know it's happening. They know something is going on. And that's good. It's a little message to those that are clinging to the remote possibility that the policy of embargo will continue. Let it go, guys. It's over. Let's just get the truth out and move on with civilization.
Big addition here. A lot of stuff to get in to the podcast for archive purposes. So it's always there, always worth hearing again, I think. Steve Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group. Before that, Doug Popper on whatever happened in Las Vegas. And before that, the great Jeremy Corbell. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained online. So until we meet again, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained, and please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.